Well, good morning, all.
Good morning.
Welcome, Andrew and Evelyn, back. Did you escape before the storm?
Indeed, you did.
All right. That was his one prayer, his one request. I do not want to be entertained by a hurricane. And welcome, Faith. Blessings. So when Andrew talked to me 3 weeks ago, he mentioned that to me. So first thing I did is begin to pray for safety for Andrew and Evelyn in their visit to Hawaii, or however that's pronounced. They do it better than I do. And then I thought, after a week or so, I should just pray that the hurricane misses the islands. I woke up this morning and there was a news bulletin. It said that the hurricane went south of the Big Island. Okay, I can live with that. So that's probably good news for all the folks living out there. Logan visited last week with Amy. And enjoyed our fellowship. He finds very comfortable setting. I think we're kind of an easy bunch to get along with. We're winding down summer, and for a lot of us, that means some of the family and recreational outings are coming to an end, usually through Labor Day is our time to get together with families, because traveling is so much easier, except for like Christmas and Easter, of course, but because we're kind of got our hands tied with the weather in northern Minnesota. Gail handed me an announcement this morning that might interest some of you. I did not get it. This has to do with Adventurous Christians. Some of you know that is a camp up on the North Shore that sends canoe trips, Christian groups, into the Boundary Waters. And because of all the wildfires and smoke and stuff this year, a lot of trips were canceled. So you can put this to prayer. I know some of you are committed to Adventurous Christians and you may want to help out, because their announcement is, because of all that happened, they have a $35,000 financial shortfall this year. So if you're interested in helping out Adventurous Christians, this is probably the time that they need it. The only announcements I wanted to highlight was the nursing home service in 2 weeks. If you would pray about participating in that, as I've mentioned before, we talk to the folks afterwards, beforehand, greet them, get to know them a little bit, and always pray with them afterwards individually. So if you want to help with that would be great. Some of the folks need help finding the songs in the songbooks, or what I've been doing recently, because I think they lost the songbooks that we used to use. I've been printing them out for the folks. And of course, helping them singing along with. It's nice to have more than just one voice that can help out with singing. That's 2 weeks from today, and then 3 weeks from today, or church will be canceled, and we will be planning to attend the All Church Sunday at Rock Ridge High School. Almost everything is in place. It looks like they've gotten permission to celebrate communion together. They're still trying to figure out what to do with coffee before maybe have to be outside, but I know they allow beverages and food in the lobby entrance area. You just can't take it into the auditorium. So they're trying to work out the details on that, and also trying to get some food trucks, which probably doesn't matter to us, but remember there are folks who travel from Ely and Cook and Hibbing and Nashwauk and Keewatin and Meadowlands. And the last few years we've had about 700 people at that all church Sunday. About two dozen churches participate. We've got an increased interest in two more churches this year. So it is just exciting to me to be able to get together and say we are one in Jesus, though we have differences of opinions about things. It is a very important thing to me. And then Operation Christmas Child, I see that the sales are on. So, and I see that the box in the entryway is empty, so it's time to start getting school supplies, personal supplies. Bernie has that list, and I have a few suggestions in the bulletin that we can fill up those boxes with before they are ready to travel to other parts of the world and touch the lives of kids and their families. Thank you. To those of you who are taking a close look at the bulletin and emails that I send out and sending me suggestions for corrections, there are two of you who are good at that. I just want to explain my position. You've heard it said that the devil is in the details. I am not a very good detail person, and I wanted to tell you why. The reason is the devil is there. All right. A joke that works for a change. Okay. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that his way may be known upon the earth, his saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. Our opening hymn is number 23. We will sing four verses, just those verses in those top three sections. We will not go on to the fifth verse. So if you'd stand with me.
Above, may glory sing, his wonderful love.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning. Today's first reading is found in Psalm 105, and that's on page Pew Bible, page 458. And we'll be reading three different sections of this. We'll start with verses 1 through 6, and then down to 16 to 22, and then lastly the last phrase in Psalm. Psalm 105, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wondrous acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. And then down to verse 16. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man to them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons until he foretold what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. And then the very last phrase, praise the Lord. And then the second reading is in the Epistle of Romans, found starting on Pew Bible page 863, Romans chapter 10, page 863. And this will be verses 5 through 15. Moses described in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say to in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May God add his blessing to his word.
We have an opportunity to give our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward at this time. In our church, we believe that we give with a grateful heart unto the Lord. So whatever you give, give with joy and thanksgiving to a God who is just incredible to us. Today, we also are taking an offering for Congo Kids, and Gail has the coconuts, so when that passes by you, that is what that offering is for. Let's pray together. Our Father, we've said this before this morning, we'll say it again. You are good. You have been so good to us. We give back to you with grateful hearts. And with honor unto your holy name and unto the holy name of Jesus through whom we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our blessing unto the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you. You may be seated. Our next hymn is number 35, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
This morning as we go to prayer, are there prayer requests that we can lift up to the Lord? We have seen a remarkable number of answered prayers over the years. We believe in prayer. We believe that God answers prayer. We believe that God heals. We believe that God helps. He is always with his people. You may have prayer requests also for others who need to come to know the Lord. So any prayer requests this morning? Let's pray together. First, our Father God, we come to you with grateful hearts. We come to you also acknowledging your goodness to people, all people, your love to people, all people. We thank you for the great number of answered prayers, your graciousness to us, your faithfulness to us, your love for us to hear us and to respond to our requests out of your great love. We give you thanks, our Father God, through Jesus your Son, because we know that it is your desire to answer our requests to you. We are your people, our Father God. We are your people, our Lord Jesus. We are your people, Holy Spirit of the living God. We come together today to make that announcement that we are people of God. And we honor you, our Father God, through your Son, Jesus. Once again, we would ask, Father, that you would assist the folks in the Hawaiian Islands, especially the island that is getting hit the hardest by the rains and winds. Keep people safe. Give them encouragement and hope. And of course, draw their hearts to you. We thank you for answered prayer that the hurricane did not hit the island directly. We appreciate that because it has saved so many lives and so much trouble. But they are in need of you to get through this storm and the effects of it on electricity and water and food and access to the community and jobs and hospitals. Care for people that has to go on despite the storm. We thank you, our Father God, for the goodness that you pour out on our lives each and every week. We don't want to take any minute for granted because you are always with us. And you are always blessing us. We are here today to say, Father God, that we believe you are a God of blessing and not curse, success and not failure, glorifying your name in the entire world. As we proceed, Father God, over these next few weeks in preparation for the All Church Sunday, you know what my prayer is. I would make it our prayer that you would bring us together as one and declare to all of the Iron Range of northeastern Minnesota and beyond that Christians are united as one. Beyond our differences, beyond our thoughts, beyond our activities, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, one Lord of us all, one Holy Spirit, one Word. We are united to honor you. And so move through this effort to bring people to you and to bring your people back to you, beyond our differences. Bring together the bones that are broken, the hearts that are broken. Heal and restore and build a beginning for a new revival and restoration on the Iron Range. We thank you, our Father God, because we can trust you. We thank you, our Father God, for successful surgery and healing for Audrey. We just bless you for your goodness to her and her able to get around easier with less pain. We thank you, our Father God, for John's truck, which is continuing to roll through the streets successfully. And for John, we thank you for our sister Amy, who is traveling this weekend. Ask that you bless her and be with you, be with her. We thank you for bringing Evelyn and Andrew back to us successfully and for answering prayer to keep them safe on their journeys and for them to have just an incredible, joyful time with family and friends there. Our Father God, we thank you that you continue to heal Gail from whatever pain, whatever problems there are. We thank you for healing and restoring Roger. We thank you, Father God, for your abundant blessings in the midst of your people. And as your word has been read to us, because of your goodness, we understand that as we spread the good news of Jesus, people will be excited to know about the goodness of our God. As we continue to worship you and to honor you, enter into our lives and our hearts, open our minds, that we can honor you more each and every single day. Through the name of your Son, the name that is above every name, the name with power and authority, that name is Jesus. Amen. And right next to number 35 is hymn number 36.
Oh,
We usually sing that at Christmas time, at least the first verse anyway. But if you'll notice, it's in the category of adoration and praise, which is at the top of the page in the hymnal. And it's good once in a while for us to be reminded that it's a song we can sing all year long. We continue in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 21. We've got three things that happen in these verses, and I've entitled it Money, Myths, and Mobs. What interferes with us proclaiming the name of Jesus? And I know, it's a long list. There's plenty of things. Well, in this passage, we have three things that we are given that interfere. So we get a couple answers today. But first, before we dive into those, I'd like to read verses 21 through 22. Actually, I'll include 23 because it's part of the introduction. Now, after these things were finished, Paul purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem after he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." And having sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. And about that time there arose no small disturbance concerning the way. This is the second time that the Christians have been called the way. And that was kind of a movement back in, I think, the 70s and 80s. We were called the way. I wanted you to notice, though we won't stop to spend time on this today, that Paul has a direction now in his life. Remember last week we talked about that in Acts 19 something has happened to Paul. His direction in life has changed. He has finally come to the conclusion that the gospel to the Jews is relatively fruitless, not entirely fruitless, and that he now has accepted the commission from God to go to the Gentiles. And that change caused him to move from the teaching in the synagogue to teaching in the Gentile college, and we were told in Acts 19 that people from all over Russia and Asia and the East, like we would call it India and China and Africa and Europe, were coming to this university, and Paul has the opportunity for 2 years to teach about Jesus to people from all over the world. We've talked about the tsunami of Christianity. We've talked about the explosion of Christianity. This was far beyond anything that anybody could have expected. For these people came there, they went back to their homes, and the gospel was spread way beyond Paul's ability to reach the world for Jesus. The keynote is, these were Gentiles that spread the word to their own homelands. The second vision that Paul has, I want to read for you, word for word. And it is in verse 21. Not only is he going to Jerusalem, because he's going to meet with the apostles there before he launches out, Paul says this, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Interesting wording. I was listening to a pastor preach this last week, and he was talking about Paul's desire to see Rome, Paul's request to God to see Rome, and then what happened afterward. As you know, we'll get into later, the imprisonment, and the pastor was saying, don't forget, when you make a request to God, to be specific. I want to see Rome as a tourist might have helped. Instead, he ends up as a prisoner. Nonetheless, all to the glory of God. Verse 24 and 25, and about this time there arose no small disturbance concerning the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, who was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen of similar trades and said, men, you know that our prosperity depends on this business. So the first thing we note here is a man by the name of Demetrius, apparently a leading person in the community. We are in the city of Ephesus, just for a reminder. So apparently a leading man in the city, and he apparently wasn't shy. He was interested in political, social impact in his community. Not ashamed to step forward. Not ashamed to take on a cause. This guy specialized in designing silver shrines for the goddess Artemis. Now, I don't know of anybody who does make silver shrines. I just have never run into anybody who has made silver shrines. But this is his specialty. Who is Artemis? Artemis is a goddess. Artemis is the Greek name for this goddess. Diana is the Roman name for the same goddess. Gods and goddesses for the Romans and the Greeks were very interesting people. And I have seen some of those movies about the gods and the goddesses and Zeus and all that kind of stuff. And they kind of portray how the Romans and the Greeks viewed these gods. Artemis was a fierce, merciless, independent woman. She was the goddess of the hunt. And so what she did during the day is went out and killed animals, but not all animals. She killed adult animals and protected smaller animals. She was the goddess of things like marriage, at least the girls' part of marriage. So she protected the girls before marriage. She protected women during childbirth. But here's the problem with the Roman and Greek gods, every single one of them. They were capricious. So Artemis would also bring sudden death to the women that she was supposedly protecting. Or she could bring healing and relief, depending on her whim. of the moment or her whim of the day. So, if you were a woman or a girl in the city of Ephesus or in the Greco-Roman Empire, you had to be careful to stay on her good side. Get the picture of the Roman and the Greek gods as compared with our God? You never knew what this goddess would do because she had the power and she had the whim. I have a little trouble in this area sometimes in talking to Christians who struggle with this very same thing because they apply this to our God. That our God is capricious, whimsical. We will get from God what he wants. To me, this book is very clear about who our God is. And to help us out even understand it more, to help the Jews understand it more, and us, he sent Jesus, and the word tells us, Jesus tells us, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I really, really, really believe that one of the missions of Jesus was to show us who God the Father is because we as people have so much trouble understanding him and coming to grips with this God that we love and that we serve is good. This God is good, not whimsical, not capricious. We pray because we believe this God is good. The huge temple in Ephesus, dedicated to Artemis, was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. This will give you a little understanding of where Demetrius now goes with his cause. I'll call it that. So what does he do? He brings together his craftsmen, and then he brings together craftsmen in other parts of the city. I don't know who all those were. And he builds, and I don't know if this is the first time ever in history, but I call it the first trade union. But their cause is unusual. It's noted in verse 24 and 25. Demetrius says this, "Men, you know that our prosperity depends on this business." And then on to verse 26, "And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all." So the cause of the trade union is money. Business, if you will, if you like a more neutral word for this. And that is the way the world runs, right? So we probably can't fault the world for being like that, but it comes in direct conflict with Paul and his message. The world. In fact, these are the three elements. The first is money. The second is the myths. I like this part because I really enjoy talking to people and finding out what their beliefs are, where their faith is, if you will. And so to repeat, verse 26, "And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, This Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. And now on to verse 27. And not only is there danger that this trade of ours falls into disrepute, there's a problem, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis be regarded as worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and the world worship should be dethroned from her magnificence. Three myths locked up in this verse. What is a myth? So I had to look it up in the dictionary, of course, which is online, which is convenient for me. A myth. This is the definition. An old tradition or story that is made up to explain how the world works. We all have them. We all have myths. You can talk to anybody. In fact, during our coffee time, you'll hear some of those. This is my explanation of how I think the world works. It may be true, may not be true, but it's my opinion. It's kind of the mythology of my life. We all have them. I like Warren Buffett in what he says about myths and investing. Warren Buffett is interesting. He's probably considered the best of all investors, not the wealthiest man in the world, but the best of all investors. He makes his investment procedure, thinking, known, so anybody can copy it. He doesn't make his individual decisions known until afterwards, but he makes his process known so anybody can copy it. And what Warren Buffett says is the problem with most investors is they invest because of their myths about the market. He doesn't believe in myths. He doesn't believe in beliefs about the market. He explains that the market functions in a certain way, and all you have to do is function in that way. Now, I'm not as smart as Warren Buffett, but I certainly applaud his success when it comes to investments. And we've seen the results of some mythological investments, mythological handling of financial matters nationally, statewide, locally, our own budgets. We've made some mistakes based on myths. The first myth that is mentioned here is that prosperity depends on our business. The trouble is, we agree with that. My prosperity depends on my job. My prosperity depends, if you're retired, on your investment income, Social Security, so forth. We believe that. It's not true. Now you're wondering, aren't you? But we believe it. The Bible says our prosperity depends on God. Where do I put my faith? On the myth or on my Lord? The second myth, also that we read about, is public recognition. He's afraid that this group of people would fall into disrepute. What is this really? What this really is pride, and we know about pride. Pride is not what we want. Again, public recognition is a myth that we believe in and we fall into. We want people to like us, right? Absolutely. However, if we fall into that as something that is important to us, we may fall into the myth. Again, people like us or God likes us. There's that choice between the myth and reality. The third myth is the myth of religion. This is one that's easy for us to identify because they are worshiping Artemis. And we've all got this figured out. She isn't a goddess. In fact, she doesn't even exist. There is no such woman. It is all made up in the minds of people. And I kind of take delight in this because it's so obvious to me that all this is mental machinations of figuring out this must be who this god or goddess is. And I don't know if you've read a lot about the Greek or Roman mythology, but it, to me, is delightfully amusing that people could actually believe this, or that they make a silver shrine and worship it. And we find that in the Old Testament, that the Jewish prophets, the prophets of Israel, would come to these people and says, "You're not heads. This thing is made of wood. This thing is made of stone. This isn't a god. I can go out in the field and pick one up and carve it myself. What are you doing? God is the one who is above all, has created all." But they believed in Artemis. We know this one as idol worship. These are three of the most spiritually deadly human problems that we must guard against. We can't change the world. We can't change people in the world. But we can guard ourselves. Perception. Myths are based on perception. But the mob that we're going to read about now is also based on perception. So let me read for you verses 28 and 29. "And when they heard this, they were filled with rage. They began crying out, saying, 'Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!' And the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia." Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the story. You can read the verses after that. What we find out after this is this mob is so confused, it doesn't even know why. Doesn't even know the reason that they're a mob. And it's mentioned three times in these verses. They don't know what they're doing. This is just a myth, a social myth. They just get together and craziness results. And the craziness results until a guy with a little common sense, the clerk, the town clerk, stands up and says, "You knotheads, what are you doing? This has nothing to do with reality." And dismisses the whole crowd. Money, the challenge. And Jesus talked about that. And Paul talked about that. Everything we own, we don't own. God does. We are stewards of everything that we have. We don't own any of it. And so Jesus talks about in his parables, be a good steward. Myths. We've got myths running around this world all the time. All the time. Turn on the news, you can turn on a television show, you can walk out into the community. There's just beliefs all over the place, which is why we hold Jesus so close to us, because it's so easy to not see clearly if we get our eyes off him. And the mob, none of you are mobsters. That's probably not the right word. None of you are people who would be involved in a mob in our community or your community, wherever it is. We're just not those kinds of people. But we do have mobs in the world. I guess some people would call social media kind of a mob in a way. But I don't think we participate in that. We may participate in social media, but we don't get on the bandwagon, so to speak, I don't think. But it's still very real. Do you feel that tug sometimes inside your gut? I need to get on this bandwagon. This is right. Somebody should say something. I guess all we need to make sure is that whatever we say is the truth. That's why we read this book. That's why we study this book, so that we can say, God is God. Jesus is Lord. And the Word of God has been written for us so that we can find our way and not be caught in this mob that's going on. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, God Almighty. Lord Jesus, our Savior, thank you for you. We will not survive the craziness of the world without you. That's why we're here. And so we thank you. And we seal it in that precious, holy, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 43. And the name of the hymn is Stand Up and Bless the Lord. So I suppose we could do that. One another and bless each other in the name of Jesus with Aaron's blessing. The Lord.